Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you today. Looks like the weather's going to get really warm this weekend. So Sean has planned a picnic for the entire staff.
Ah, got to dust off the grill.
That really is not intriguing and enticing to get us to go to your picnic.
They got to have the grill.
Might I recommend a trip to Brewer's Outlet?
Oh, absolutely.
Which we'll talk,
sure.
Talk more about that tomorrow.
But, you betcha.
I mean, picnic's a great idea. It's going to be 60 degrees this weekend.
You going to dust off the clubs? No hoops this weekend.
The clubs will be out and in force this weekend.
Nice.
They shall be. And I'll go and I'll hit the ball around many, many, many times. But at least we'll be playing golf in February. Not bad. 60 degrees. We have some shows coming up for you. Tomorrow, Mike DeCourcy from Sporting News and Big Ten Network's going to join us. Tuesday, Joe Lenardi, Joey Brackets on the show. Thursday, Tony Knopp, CEO, Spotlight Ticket Management. Huh? It's a pretty good week. Like it.
And you know me, I got about four, five, six other irons in the fire for down the road.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one will pan out. No, I'm just kidding.
One out of six, I'll take.
Yeah. Today, Josh Getzoff from the Penguins Radio Network and Audrey Snyder, DK Sports, on the show today. Not bad. So we'll have that for today's show. And we'll talk to Josh in the next half hour, Audrey in the 406 half hour. And then the coaches show tonight, and I have no idea who's showing up. So I did the Hoops Club today. I emceed that. Had no idea who was going to be at that. Ended up being Julian Moore and the trainer, Jonathan Salazar. Show tonight? Don't know. I do know I'm there. As depressing as that is for you.
No, I'll be there. No, not depressing at all. I mean, if I wasn't an hour and 20 minutes away, I'd be there too.
Well, I'm there tonight. I have no idea who's joining me, but I'm there. They've got Purdue next. So I'm running through Purdue's numbers today. And it's been seven games since they played Penn State. They are 6-1 in those seven games. The one loss was at Nebraska. And their numbers, for the most part, are the same. I'm talking about each player, except for one notable exception. Biggie. You're like, Biggie? That's Caleb Swanigan's nickname. He had awesome numbers the first time going into the Penn State game. His numbers are better. He's averaging 19 points and 13 rebounds a game. They've now put out a hashtag to promote him as the National Player of the Year. Don't know if that'll happen, but I can tell you right now he is on track to be the Big Ten Player of the Year.
I was thinking between him and Melo Trimble. I mean, Melo had a phenomenal night last night against Northwestern.
Had a career high.
Yeah, but was it 34, something like that?
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to be close though, Sean. He can't be doing what he's doing. He's had 23 double-doubles this year. Most teams, a guy gets a double-double, they're like, no, it's in every press release. Him, it's a common occurrence. His numbers in Big Ten play are better than non-conference play. That doesn't usually happen. And Melo Trimble had been slumping from the field until he had the big game with Northwestern last night. Where's the slump for Biggie? What's interesting about Swanigan, Swanigan grew up in Fort Wayne. Tough family situation. Not the greatest. He always wanted to play for Purdue. Always. But he was also a big overweight kid. And he'd go to the Purdue camps and the whole thing, work out the whole nine yards, and do well. But Purdue didn't offer him. That really bothered him to the point where he gave up on Purdue. He actually, through an advisor, chose Cal to go to school. And his advisor told him, no, you're not going to go to Cal. Now, why did he choose Cal? Because a couple of guys that he was in the AAU circuit with, he became buddies with, and they chose Cal. And the advisor told him, no, this is a business decision. You're not going there. Then he chose Michigan State. Now, at this point, when he chose Michigan State, Purdue had offered him, but he was so mad at Purdue for not offering him earlier, even though it had been his dream, he opted for Michigan State. Then a couple things changed, and he got out of that, and he ended up going to Purdue. And one of the reasons he ended up going to Purdue is because they had A.J. Hammonds and they had Isaac Haas. And they say at the next level, Swanigan is more of a four than a five. And because they had Hammonds and Haas, they could play Swanigan at the four and not the five. Business decision. Welcome to college basketball. I mean, do you really think he'll be there next year? Think he'll be getting his degree? He'll be in the three-letter league next year. He'll be here on Tuesday night. They've got Michigan State, by the way, this weekend. And that will be at Mackey. But this guy is, he's lost a lot of weight. It shows. He moves so well now. I thought he moved well last year, but he also settled too much for jump shots last year. I really did not like his game last year. That when he said he would come back for this season, I thought that was the right move because he needed to develop that game around the basket a little bit more. I think it's a huge plus for him at the next level that he can face up and shoot. I mean, that is a huge plus for him because they love that. But you'll see him on Tuesday night. And then there's Isaac Haas. He's the biggest anything I've ever seen. So Purdue's got Michigan State this weekend. Penn State's off. Great to have Brandon Smith on the show earlier in the week. And one of the areas that he talked about was down the road he wants to become a pediatric oncologist. He will be terrific at anything he does. Work ethic, heart, he'll be terrific. He and his wife met a little girl named Leah. Leah's going to be here this weekend. I thought it was a fascinating story about how much Leah has affected the two of them. And that's all part of this Thon weekend. They're going to raise between $10 and $15 million for the Four Diamonds Fund, of which 95% of the funds goes to the Four Diamonds Fund. And Charlie Schumann from the football team will be one of the dancers. Audrey will talk about that. She had a chance to interview Charlie this week. And Charlie's always been a very active member in SAB, the Student Athletic Advisory Board. And I know when I talked to the person in charge of SAB back in, I want to say, October, November, he mentioned to me that Charlie Schumann was one of the bright lights of SAB. Oh, okay. We can see why. and he can't change his workout schedule to do this. He still has to maintain his workout schedule. Now, he's going to change his lift. He has to. I mean, they're accommodating to some of this, but at the same time, you're still a member of the football team. You know, he's going to have to work out next Tuesday morning. He's going to have to go next Thursday morning. He worked out this morning, but he also wants to be involved. There are four student athletes that are doing this. He's one of them. Quite an endeavor. Last year, they raised $9.7 million. I've got a feeling they're going to raise even more this time. Just a gut. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Your home for the Phillies, Shikellamy football, basketball, Penn State football, basketball. News Radio 1070 WKOK was also your home this year for the Super Bowl and the NFL playoffs. And the Sunbury Broadcasting family includes the Eagles, the Steelers, and Bucknell football and basketball. Pretty good, huh? Love it. And, of course, the home of Sean Carey.
And the suit.
Okay, had eight memos today.
Really?
Something about declining sales. I don't know what that means.
Mm.
Not on this show.
No.
Just with one individual. Yeah. Captain Kegger. All right. Great to have you with us today. Let's run down some of the headlines for you on the day and get you up to date on that. Some of the headlines include Mark Gottfried being fired at NC State as head basketball coach, but is going to finish out the season. That's an interesting way to do it. Here's a guy that has taken his team to the NCAA tournament. But they've had three consecutive blowout losses. And he's done at the end of the year. They lost 93-73 to North Carolina. They're now 14-13. They're 3-11 in the ACC. They've suffered losses of 30 points to North Carolina and 24 points to Florida State. And Gottfried did ask Debbie Yao if he could finish out the season because of his commitment to the players, and he was told yes, he could. And she's the one that hired him, by the way. Now, he's gone to the NCAA tournament in each of his first 4 years. But evidently, they feel they've got to make a change and make it now. Some people are going to target right away Archie Miller. And there's a feeling that he, over at Dayton, that he may not take it. I believe this is his alma mater. NC State, of course, in that triangle down there with North Carolina, Duke, and of course in Raleigh, and they've been the third wheel down there for a long time. And he's been able to get to the NCAA tournament, but again, it's not enough down there to just get there. 122-82 at NC State. And he had 3 years of base salary remaining on his contract, about $2.28 million. Now, what the buyout is, I have no idea. None. But he will get to serve the rest of this season, but they know he's done. The next one is warrants are being sought in that Michigan State sexual assault investigation. They have submitted requests for arrest warrants into a sexual assault claim involving three Michigan State football players. We only bring it up because, obviously, Penn State plays them every year. The police requested three warrants for sexual assault charges and a fourth warrant for a non-sexual crime related to the investigation. So far, Michigan State has suspended three football players and one staff member. The names of the three football players have not been released on the suspensions. There's been a suspension that's been confirmed, and that's the recruiting director, Curtis Blackwell, who's on a paid suspension. But they declined whether to say the suspension has anything to do with the assault investigation. And again, the three players have not been named. The athletic department also announced at Michigan State that they have hired an independent law firm to review the football program's Title IX compliance in dealing with the alleged assault. We bring that up only because, obviously, that's someone Penn State plays. You always keep tabs on what's going on, pro and con, with what happens at other places, especially teams that you play. All right, next half hour, we'll talk a little bit about hockey. The Penguins have Winnipeg tonight. Josh Getzoff's always a great guest to have on from the Penguins Radio Network. Then Audrey Snyder, DK Sports at 4:06. Mike DeCourcy tomorrow. Joe Lenardi Tuesday. And Tony Knopp next Thursday. For all of your planning purposes. We're your home for Captain Kumbaya, Mark Lawrence. On News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, first rate in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Keywords 11 and 15 in beautiful downtown Hummel's Wharf, where Sean could be king. Yeah. This day in sports history, 1969, Alex Delvecchio of the Red Wings scores his 1,000th NHL point. 1970, Joe Frazier began his reign as the undefeated heavyweight champion of the world when he knocked out Jimmy Ellis in five rounds. He lost the title 3 years later to George Foreman. In that time, he defended it against Muhammad Ali. Will Chamberlain goes over 30,000 career points, 1972. 1992, for some odd reason, the Lakers officially retire Magic Johnson's number 32. Why would they do that? Who was he? At the time, he joined Jerry West. He'd be 44. Elgin Baylor would be 22. Wilt would be 13. And Kareem would be 33. In terms of numbers. 1997, Jeff Gordon became the youngest driver to win the Daytona 500. 1999, O.J. Simpson's 1968 Heisman Trophy sold for $230,000. A court judgment ordered the trophy to be sold to help settle the $33.5 million civil judgment against Simpson for the deaths of his ex-wife and her friend. Right around July 1st of this year, he is up for parole. Now, whether he gets it or not remains to be seen. But he is up for parole beginning July 1st. 2004, Baseball Commissioner Bud Selig approved the trade of Alex Rodriguez for the Rangers and Alfonso Soriano of the Yankees. The deal would allow the Rangers to get a minor league player. And in 2005, you're wondering why Gary Bettman is booed even at grocery store openings. The 2005 NHL season canceled because of a labor dispute because they locked him out. I mean, the guy opens up a sheets and they would boo him. All right. Let's stay on the hockey theme for a moment. Josh Getzoff, Penguins. They're pretty good of late. What are the pluses and minuses you're seeing right now, Josh?
Well, I think the biggest concern is probably on the injury front. I guess we could start there because certainly those have been some big names that have gone down here for the Penguins in February. I guess the Connor Sheary injury was the last day of January, but it's right. Basically trickled into this month. Brian Rust does not sound like he's going to be back anytime soon. I know that they're trying and hoping to get him back before the playoffs start, but I think that's even up in the air right now. It was an upper body injury that he suffered last week against Colorado. So you talk about those two guys, those are significant losses just in the sense that they were the wingers for Sidney Crosby, and that line really seemed to be getting rolling going into February. So it was a shame to see both of them go down. The good news on the Carl Hagelin front, who's been dealing with a concussion here for the last week or so, he did skate today in the morning skate, had a regular jersey on, so he's had the no-contact situation lifted. I know Mike Sullivan probably wants to get him in a few more skates with the team. I guess there's a chance he could play tomorrow night against Columbus, but he's definitely not in tonight for the Penguins, but certainly he's tracking towards a return here sooner rather than later, which is a good sign. So I think that's probably the main worry as far as the injuries are concerned, but the positives, I mean, where you got some injuries off the books. Evgeny Malkin's back. He had a huge game against Vancouver on Tuesday night, and I think there's no reason to expect him not to continue at a ridiculous pace here for the rest of the year. I think Jake Gensel's been a pleasant surprise here for the Penguins in February. He's been asked to assume a big role with Rust and Fury out, and he's doing a great job up on Sidney Crosby's right wing. Got the goal against Vancouver and has 4 points over his last six games. So I think those guys are certainly positives. The Penguins are certainly trending upward as well as you look out of the All-Star break. They're right. The only team since the All-Star break without a regulation loss.
Exactly. Now, trade deadline. Jim Rutherford has done a brilliant job over the years, whether it was with Carolina or now with Pittsburgh, working the system in such a way where the cap doesn't become an issue. Obviously, I'm not going to ask you about specifics, but what are the odds the Penguins make any kind of deal before the deadline?
I would say that there's probably a pretty high chance they'll make a deal. You're right. It is hard to kind of specify exactly what or who, what kind of deal they're going to make and for who. But, I mean, I think that Jim Rutherford understands because he's coached a team – or, excuse me, he's managed a team coming out of winning a Stanley Cup championship before with Carolina. I think he knows that this year is a tough year just in the sense of with having everyone back. That's a great sign, but also the struggles you deal with just going through the motions, I think, at times this year. And that's to be expected when you're coming off a long run. You've won the Stanley Cup. You got everyone giving you 100% every night. It's a tough situation to be in. It's a situation every team wants to be in, but the Penguins certainly have dealt with their ups and downs this year. With that being said, they're in a great spot. Tied for second with Columbus in the Metro. I think that they have a game in hand on Columbus, which they'll play tonight before going to Columbus tomorrow. So there's a lot of important games left for this team and certainly a chance to rise up in the standings even further than they already have. But I could see Jim Rutherford making a move. I don't know if it's going to be as huge of a splash as all the rumors that are out there right now,
right,
simply because I don't know how it would work personally. I mean, unless you're talking about moving big money on the Penguins side as well. Because it's definitely, they're a team that's right up against the cap, and that's going to hamper some things as far as any big trades, or at least make things a little bit more tricky to orchestrate any kind of major deals. But I would not be surprised if there's a couple of moves made by Jim Rutherford here over the next week.
A key last year was the depth of the Penguins system. It made a big difference in the speed dynamic that we saw in the playoffs. Where is that system right now, and can there be some subtle help that can make a difference, in your opinion?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the system is kind of trending in the direction they want it to be. I know Mike Sullivan said that what he saw against Vancouver, granted there were still some mistakes, there were quite a bit of odd man rushes given up by the Penguins, but the way that you know the Penguins are playing the way they want to play is when they're starting from their own end, their first pass out of the zone of breakout accelerates them through the neutral zone, and they're going right on the attack. I mean, they're a quick transition breakout team that relies on starting their offense from their own end out. And that was something they were able to do so well last year. And they've done it at times this year as well. Chris Letang being back in the lineup is huge as far as that being a factor, because he's essentially a one-man breakout for the Penguins half the time when he's on the ice. And he's literally on the ice almost half the game every time he plays.
Right.
So I think that's something that's positive for them right now. The depth, I think, has been tested big time this year, and I think it's really shown through. I mean, Carter Rowney is going to be in the lineup again tonight here for the Penguins. I know Mike Sullivan's a big fan of his and has enjoyed what he's brought for them here in the bottom six, and more specifically on that fourth line, in kind of a checking line role, checking center role. He can do some penalty kill as well. And, you know, it's just been interesting watching a whole new group of guys come in this year after we saw who came in last year. And I think that it's a different kind of feel with this group here. I mean, Josh Archibald did score twice in his first game this year. Carter Brownlee's had some moments, but, and Jake Gensel, obviously, maybe is the exception overall. But this is more of a gritty grinder group that's coming up here and making their impact felt, as opposed to last year where you had a guy like Sheary and a guy like Rust and a guy like Wilson come up, and all those guys obviously have a scoring touch to their game.
How you love watching exciting young players, and we brought up a couple along the way when they play. I remember when Connor McDavid came in, we talked about him. How interested are you to watch Patrick Laine tonight? One of the in a league that has McDavid and Eichel and people like that, and obviously up in Toronto. How excited are you to see this kid?
Yeah, this is going to be a treat for Penguins fans, and Winnipeg in general has a few really good young players. Mark Scheifele is another one. Nikolai Ehlers is another big winger they have on their top line. And then, of course, Laine is one of the great young players in the game. He's probably going to be one of the three finalists. Actually, he will be one of the three finalists. I'd go on record right now and say that for the Calder Trophy as Rookie of the Year. He's 26 goals. I actually had an opportunity to speak with him this morning. It's going to air on our pregame show here tonight ahead of this game against the Jets. And I just came away very impressed by him. He's a very confident young man, but he's huge. He's about 6'5".
Yeah.
225. He's a big guy. And he has the size. He has the speed. He has the skill, clearly. His shot's right up there with one of the best in the league, one of the quickest releases. And, I mean, he had a hat trick in their last game against Dallas. That was his third hat trick of the year. So he's a guy that's been filling the net for a team that's done it quite a bit here this year. And I don't see any sign of him slowing down. Paul Maurice, the head coach of the Jets, spoke with the media this morning and was just raving about how he doesn't put a ceiling on Patrick Laine, because there is no ceiling on the guy. You just don't know how many goals he's capable of, and the totals just seem to rise. And he's definitely going to be someone I think fans will enjoy watching tonight. He just brings it all. He doesn't have one real weakness to his game. And I think if you wouldn't have had Austin Matthews potentially in this draft this past summer as well, Laine was the clear-cut top prospect in the world. So it'll be good to see him here tonight and get a little bit of taste of him head-to-head against Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin.
That's actually one of the better moves that they made scheduling-wise, where they send everybody into everybody else's building once, I thought.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, and I've always thought of that from the Crosby point of view. I mean, it was years between Crosby playing, I want to say in Vancouver and Edmonton, before they put that in where you had to go there once. And I think for the fans, I think it's great to see a guy like Laine play, who's just obviously, what was he, 18 years old? He's 18
years old. 18
years old,
yep.
I mean, he's not going to be 20 until, I think, in April, or 19 until April, I don't think. I mean, it's just, it's amazing what these guys at a young age do. And you're wondering, for example, you were talking about the kid up in Toronto. I guess, you know, having the Phoenix, now Arizona Coyotes, made a big difference to him. I'm wondering if with the Winnipeg Jets, for example, you know, all those years that, you know, the WHA started bringing in all the players from Europe, how much of an influence it eventually had on a guy like him playing the game.
Yeah, he talked about that today. He talked about some of the Finnish players that played before him, and he kind of joked with me that he wasn't alive when Jari Kurri played, so he never got to watch him play.
Right.
But he definitely has seen the footage of him with the Oilers and the Kings and the magnificent career, Hall of Fame career that Jari Kurri had. He also obviously referenced Timo Solani, who he can't help but compare the two. I mean, the flashy winger, both from Finland, both can fill the net. So I think that that's a comparison that he won't ever escape from, just in the sense that they're both Winnipeg Jets.
How sad is it that you and I sit there and we remember everything Jari Kurri did, and this guy wasn't alive when he played? Okay. That's sad, Josh.
I'm with you.
That's sad. It's a quick turnaround, by the way, for the Pens. They've got this one, then they've got Columbus right away. How have the Pens been, in your opinion, on quick turnarounds this season?
They did not start out so well on these back-to-backs, but I think this year, the last couple they've played, they've been much better. I believe they swept their last back-to-back that they played, and they did so pretty convincingly. So I think that they're definitely – this is the time of year where you really need to dig deep, because the schedule has been crazy. I know the Penguins have gotten some breaks here with the All-Star game and their bye week already in the rearview mirror. So they've had a chance here to catch their breath, whereas the Jets actually tonight have not yet had their bye week. So this is a team that's been going at it for quite a while. But as far as the Penguins are concerned, I think that they've had some time here to catch their breath. But with that being said, you're playing almost towards game 60 of the regular season. It's been a grueling regular season. You're right in the thick of the playoff race, and as expected, it's going to be tight towards the final poll here for the regular season. So I think that they're definitely trending upward as far as their play in back-to-backs, but that's going to be a tough task going into Columbus tomorrow night. Definitely something we're looking forward to on the radio network, and hopefully they can come into that game off a win here tonight against Winnipeg so they have that game in hand on Columbus to play with.
Josh, awesome as always. Really looking forward to the interview tonight. This is a fascinating guy to talk to, and I'm anxious to hear what he had to say. So thanks so much for the time you gave us today, because I know you're busy.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
Josh Getzoff, Penguins Radio Network. Audrey Snyder next half hour. Mike DeCourcy tomorrow. Joe Lenardi on Tuesday. Tony Knopp on Thursday. Sean Carey every day on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Presidents Washington and Lincoln could have never imagined that their day would mean one thing. Huge deals at Sunbury Motors Ford. Sunbury Motors Ford is having their annual President's Day sales event. Choose from four city blocks of new Fords. SMC has 85 new Ford F-150s to choose from.
It's America's best-selling truck for 40 straight years for a reason.
See for yourself why Sunbury Motors has sold over 40,000 trucks. 2016 F-150s are slashed over $12,500. And 2017s start at just $24,953. And from over 30 of the top-selling 2017 Ford Escapes, starting at $18,880.
This is the lowest price since President Bush was in the White House.
SMC also has 14 2017 Ford Focuses, starting as low as $13,975. Plus 0% financing for up to 72 months is available on many models. Don't miss the President's Day sales event at Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. Proudly serving all of Central Pennsylvania since 1915.
When Woodrow Wilson was in the White House.
All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Tomorrow, Mike DeCourcy, Sporting News, and Big Ten Network will join us. Joe Lenardi, Joey Brackets on the show Tuesday. Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, on the business of sports next Thursday. So we got a really, really nice lineup coming up. Audrey Snyder next half hour. Looking forward to that. Big weekend with Thon coming up. Thon, of course, at the Jordan Center. It'll be the 10th year that Thon has been at the Jordan Center. And they have raised $136 million for the Four Diamonds Fund. 95% of the money, by the way, goes to the actual Four Diamonds Fund, which is impressive. So that's what's coming up this weekend. I mean, they'll dominate the scene here from 6 o'clock Friday night until 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. And there's a good chance they can raise between $10 to $15 million for the Four Diamonds Fund. There'll be four student-athletes that will be participating, one of which will be Charlie Schumann from the football team. And Matt Zanellato told them in no uncertain terms, there's no training for this. Matt did it before. And, I mean, there's no real training to do this. It's one of the reasons why you've never seen Sean or me do this. Training? No. So.
Well, our broadcast colleague Drew Kelly here at Sunbury Broadcasting, he has been part of Thon before, playing in spinning entertainment and records at, of course, that was back during the Rec Hall days of Thon. Yes.
In fact, I opened up Thon twice at Rec Hall. I have not done anything since, and well, you know, one of the reasons is I'm always away. I mean, it's very rare that I happen to be I'm actually here this weekend because they have a bye week. They've been taking up, for obvious reasons, they've been taking the Penn State basketball team on the road.
No, you can squidoosh the rumor right now that you're going to be up on stage with the football team doing the dance routine.
No, probably not. No,
that's true.
Probably not.
You'll be out golfing. Yes.
Well, yeah, there's a good chance of that.
But while you're out in the course, you can watch the activities of Thon on your phone. That's been really cool the last couple of years, the way the event has gone digital and gone worldwide, and just seeing people from all over the world, you know, tweeting the hashtag FTK for the kids and just spreading the word on this tremendous cause that's really near and dear to so many people.
Well, it's the largest student-run philanthropy in the world, and it has been a very touching the way it's the way it's taken off the way it has. And that will take place starting tomorrow at 6 and goes till 4 o'clock on Sunday. Last year they raised $9.7 million last year. $9.7 million. Now, of the SAB members, the Student Athletic Advisory Board dancers, are Carly Chelkos from field hockey, Jessica O'Neill, women's fencing, Megan Schaefer from the women's soccer team, and Charlie Schumann are the four that'll be involved as actual dancers out there. 10th anniversary of the Jordan Center. This started out at the Hub. Then it went to White Building, then to Rec Hall, and then to the Jordan Center. And the College Communications, as Sean mentioned, will again produce a webcast of Thon. That's available at www.thon.org/webcast if you want to see it. So there's a lot going on. They raised $9.7 million last year. They've raised $136 million since Thon began, which began in 1977. So here we are up now. Well, they partner with Four Diamonds in 77. It's actually the 45th Dance Marathon. But it's the 40th year they've been partnered with the Four Diamonds Fund. All right. Next half hour, Audrey Snyder, DK Sports. Tomorrow, Mike DeCourcy, Sporting News and Big Ten Network. Tuesday, Joe Lunardi. Joey Brackets, also Nathan Davis, and Thursday, Tony Knopp, CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, who will tell us why the Chargers are making a mistake. And I'm sure he'll do it in no uncertain terms. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Roads 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
We are your home for the Philadelphia Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK, Sunbury.